building relationships with guys, learning more about God's word and what's in here, again, gave me a boldness and gave our whole family, I think, a boldness that we've never had before.
I dreamed of a city called glory, so bright and so fair. And when I entered the gates, I cried, holy. And they carried me from mansion to mansion, and all the sights I saw. But I said, I want to see.
My knees. We are privileged to have a testimony this morning. From time to time we do this. And so Jared Stedman, come on up, sir. You are on.
So, you know, when good stuff happens, you want to start talking to people about it. And there was kind of a neat thing that happened on July 25th, and I'm going to speak more of at the end of talking here today. So as you're excited about something, then you mention it to the pastor, and then you know one of your buddies is there. He's like, "Sounds like you're the next guy for a testimony." And so here I am. I'm just very thankful to be here, and I'm just thankful as well that Stan didn't make me wear that Britney Spears microphone that he wears. So, but anyway. So just to introduce myself, my name's Jared Stedman. I have a wife here, somewhere up there. There she is. Two boys, Luke and Levi. Let's see, there they are. And a daughter-in-law now, Amber. So very blessed that they're all here with us. Some of the words that I'm going to mention today, I think that really have kind of stood out in the last few weeks to me. Well, two of them I've kind of harped at my boys at for years as they grew. But the three words are bold, communication, and relationships. So as I get kind of thinking about testimony, I'm like, well, I wasn't saved from a life of, well, I guess I was saved from a life of maybe drug addiction or alcoholism, because obviously I never got involved with that. But the more I kind of think about it, I had to kind of equate it to the world that I live in. And so when I think of testimony, I think of testify. So like I said to Jody a few minutes ago, I'm like, I feel like I'm getting ready to go testify at a big trial. The same nerves kind of affect you there. So I guess what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna testify to my life, what's going on in my life. And testifying, when we go and testify in court, we're going to tell the truth. And that's what I plan on doing here today, is telling you guys the truth. So I was raised in a good Christian home. Again, the word bold. It was through a relationship that my folks had with a family in town. That they were believers, and they babysat my brother and I, and they were bold and asked if they could take my brother and I to church. And that kind of started it. Then they were bold and communicated with my parents about the gospel, and it was through a relationship that they built with my family that allowed them to have that boldness and communicate that. So I grew up in a phenomenal home, had a younger brother, went to church every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night, went to Christian school there. My boys bust on me because I graduated from Heartland Christian School. I know there's some other people that have graduated from here with a class of a mass of eight people. But you know, it's through it's through all that. I think when you sit and go, how does my testimony gonna affect anybody? Well, I think through those years, there were men in the church. There was a school principal that I used to torment, but they truly cared about where you were at and looked after you. And I think the thing that I'm going to testify to is I was, again, saved at a young age. I'm not sure if it was even Vacation Bible School or Sunday School. And then I reaffirmed salvation with my mom. And, you know, so I grew up in that world. And I'm going to tell you, I took it for granted over the years. And I then get out of high school, getting ready to go to college. And again, the thing that I'm going to tell you the truth about is that all through my young ages through high school. Once I get out of high school, the thing that I will tell you the truth about is, just like Mark was saying in Sunday school this morning, God was always there. I guess that's what I'm going to testify to, is the fact that God was always there. Even when I walked away from him, he stayed there, thankfully. And, you know, we all go through highs and lows in life. There's a lot of valleys in life, a lot of mountaintops in life. God was with us in the mountaintops, but God's also with us in the valleys. And that's the benefit of having him in your life. So I get out of high school, think that just prior to getting out of high school, I lost a good friend of mine. I start want a career in law enforcement. So I had an uncle that was a game warden, and thought for the longest time that I wanted to be a game warden, Stan, believe it or not. And so that was something that I put all my time and focus in. You know, I felt it was one of those things that God put in my path, and I kept trying and trying and trying, and it just wouldn't happen. And finally, I'm like, man, came to the realization that maybe this is what Jared wants. But is it what God wants? And so at that time, I was married, getting married to Lisa, and started praying about things. In the meantime, I was working as a police officer at the Skowhegan Police Department, and eventually ended up putting in for the Maine State Police. And I guess I say that for any young person that's here. When you get to that point in your career, if in fact you have God in your life and he is someone that you pray to on a regular basis, don't forget to include him in what the plans might be that he has for you. Because I'd done everything by the books. I worked part-time for the warden service. Everything was lining up, had a great reputation, but the doors kept closing. Couldn't understand why. Well, the reason why was part of a much bigger plan that I had no idea about. So, and that's going to even take us to the final story that at the end here. So I ended up, really started praying about things. God gave me a wonderful career in the state police. I've got 22 years there, and that's kind of getting us to where we need to go. But I think it's the one thing, again, as I testify to the truth, in my career, my uncle that was a game warden ended up dying in the line of duty. There's several of us here, guys upstairs, that worked with a trooper that died in the line of duty. I can tell you, valleys, mountaintops, God's been there. He's gotten us through it, gotten me through it. And if it wasn't for relationships, communication, and being bold, people being bold, never would have happened. So a few months ago, I think it was about a year ago, Stan started a men's Bible group here in church, and there was a few of us that attended it, and kind of out of that, you know, it was a great time. It's the first time I'd ever been involved in like a men's group. We get involved in that, and that's turned into us getting involved with another men's group, and there's anywhere from four to sometimes as many as a dozen that get together on Thursday nights. And I got to tell you, that I think has been the best thing for me in my adult years. I think the word bold, being there, studying, and being very raw with a group of men has allowed, I think, many of us in the group to establish a boldness that we've maybe never had before. And again, we've built relationships there. We've made it through there. So You know, as I worked as a trooper with the state police, you know, as there's some guys that are here that I worked with over the years, and they can probably testify to the fact that I was probably working on my testimony over the years. But it's one of those things that sometimes you come home at the end of the day and you're like, man, did anybody see anything different in me? And I think Satan wants us to be blindsided and think that, no, they didn't see anything different in you. Because I'm not going to lie to you, it's easy to get caught up in the talk. It's easy to get caught up in the just whatever the conversation is that's going on. And you come home feeling defeated because you're like, man, did they understand? Did they see anything different? But I think, again, it's not any one given day. It's overall, it's relationships that hopefully that they see in you and see something different in the relationship that they have with you. So I'm going to fast forward because I feel like I'm kind of rambling now. But so obviously this spring, many of you know my dad had a heart attack. So I get a phone call. I think it was like 6 o'clock in the morning. And it was from my brother. He's like, hey, I'm not supposed to be calling you, but dad's headed to the hospital, and mom doesn't want you guys to come down because we were getting ready to take off to Florida on our 25th wedding anniversary, kind of a vacation. I'm like, yeah, well, that's not going to work. So we went to the hospital. Long story short, my dad ends up in Portland. Ends up having to have a bypass surgery, and in the process, that hospital, believe it or not, was filled full of other people in the same scenario. So being in the room that my dad was in, obviously there's not much privacy other than the curtain that's hanging there. Again, as you look at it from a family's point of view, a valley, right? So what are we as Christians, who do we lean on when we're in the valley? Our Lord and Savior. So, being down there gave us great opportunity to obviously pray with Dad, talk with Dad about things that are going on. Well, guess what? The little curtain in the center of the room doesn't really block out what's going on. My dad ended up meeting his first roommate down there was a guy named Ben. And turns out he and Dad kind of hit it off. They ended up, Ben was a truck driver, had moved equipment, hauling low bed. So happens, my dad happened to be around equipment the majority of his life, and so they had a lot in common. So again, they started this relationship, right? And through that relationship that my dad had with him, and then us going down there and visiting with both of them, his family wasn't in every day, I asked him one day if we could pray with him. And again, yeah, people are in need, but obviously I think it was a combination of being bold, building a relationship, and then communicating with him what the good Lord can do for him. So, long story short, he ends up having some complications. My dad has the surgery, and Ben ends up having to go to a different facility or a different part of the hospital. But because we've kind of established a relationship and he's open to prayer, I just felt God laying it on our heart to go and continue to minister to him and pray with him. So we went and I'd continue to go and pray with him. And I got to tell you, it's from being involved in this men's group that we started here a little bit over a year ago, sitting there, building relationships with guys, learning more about God's word and what's in here, again, gave me a boldness and gave our whole family, I think, a boldness that we've never had before. Ben had never prayed, and we got done praying a couple different times, and he's like, man, that there's something about that. It's powerful. So you're having that conversation, explaining to him that it's real. So July 25th, long story short, my dad has the surgery. He comes home, he's healing. Ben's still in July 25th, he's still in a rehab center trying to get his strength built up enough from complications that he had to still have the surgery. He still hasn't had the surgery yet. So I really wouldn't want to try to get down there to visit him, but really couldn't. So the point of my story is going to be, if my testimony is about how God used everything in from my career, from lining things up, maybe for this one moment. So I'll take you back to getting hired by the state police. Just keep in mind, had I never been hired by the state police, this next phone call wouldn't have come. So I've been wanting to get back down to see Ben because we've had great conversations about prayer. I gave him a Bible. He's been reading the Bible, and he's really open to what God has. So I get a call outside of my current assignment from the state police. It's a lieutenant that I used to work for. He's like, "Hey, FYI, we're going to be temporarily assigning you to assist with some of the executive protection stuff." I'm like, "Okay, perfect." And Department of Commerce Secretary is going to be coming in from Washington, D.C. We need you to go meet with their team, do an advance in Portland, and then we're going to have you be with them, the governor's office, and some of the senators. We're all going to be there, and you just need to be with their protection teams. Perfect. So I go meet with the guys in Portland, and I'm like, this is perfect. It's going to put me in Portland. I'll be able to smoke it. When I clear this detail, I'm going to smoke it down south. Meet with Ben, get a visit with him. And so I go down, meet with the detail, smoke it to Biddeford, go in, meet with Ben, surprise him, have a great visit. As we're talking, he's like, "I've been praying a lot, Jared." He goes, "I didn't realize that I could talk to God, directly. And I'm not looking to be healed. I know that I'm probably not going to be healed from this heart, but I've just been praying that he'd get me through day to day. And you know what? It works. He's been just giving me comfort." And I'm like, "Ben, that's what I'm telling you about, man. It's so real." So this led to some great conversation. And he says, "Listen, I'm hoping to get home, get strength enough to get home, get more strength, and then they're going to get me back in for the surgery. But I'd like to ask you something." I'm like, "Absolutely." He said, "Before I go in for this surgery," he's like, I don't know if I'm going to make it off the table, Jared." I'm like, "It's very likely, Ben, that that might happen. You could pass away." He's like, "Before I go in for my surgery, would you be willing to come down and pray with me and make sure that I'm right with God?" I'm thinking, dude, we're not waiting until surgery because you don't even know that you're going to make it to surgery. So I said, "Ben, if you're ready to ask God into your life, let's do it right now." So literally, he pushes away the little table there that they push over the hospital beds. We slide up. Guy grabs my hand, nearly crushes it. We pray, and he accepts the Lord. Amen. That was July 25th. As I'm literally walking out the door of his room, I get a text. It's from the Executive Protection Unit for the Department of Commerce Secretary, and says, "Hey, detail canceled for tomorrow." God didn't use Jared Stedman, a trooper with the Maine State Police, for no stinking detail for the Secretary of Commerce. God used that detail to orchestrate Jared Stedman going to Biddeford, Maine, to meet with Ben. Had Jared Stedman never gone to work for the state police, that conversation may never have happened. There were some highs, there were some lows getting there. But I think the biggest thing that I can say is, for those that maybe have a new relationship with Christ, for you teenagers that accepted the Lord at an early age, can barely remember the day, I'm going to tell you the benefit of having a God that you can lean on and trust And when you can take a minute and sit back and look at how detailed he is, literally, I was called by a lieutenant that I no longer work for to do a detail that is outside of my daily function with the state police, and then that detail gets canceled. Coincidence? I think not. I think it was God orchestrating the entire thing. I think that having a God like we have available to us 24/7, I've taken so advantage of it through my teenage years, through my young adult years, causing my parents gray hair and whatever the case may be. But if there's any advice I can give, be bold. Establish relationships, because when you establish relationships, it allows you the ability to have great communication and be able to communicate what God has done for us. I think Mark hit it on the head this morning in the Sunday school class when he's talking about David. I can tell you, when I look at, I think I had this conversation with a couple of the guys on the ride home as I was pumped talking about Ben. I'm like, I'm such a screw up. I screw up every day. My mouth, my attitude, my anger, whatever it may be. Treat my wife the way I had not to treat her, or say stuff to my kids, or just, you know. But you know what? God will use all of us as screw-ups. We're not perfect. We're not going to be. So don't let Satan defeat you to thinking that, number one, you don't have a testimony. Because I don't. I listen to some other guys' testimonies, and I'm like, man, that's so awesome what God has done in your life. And I think, well, what's he done in mine? Well, what he's done in mine, he has been my rock. He's been with me the entire time since the age of probably 5 years old. And so I guess if I'm going to get up here and give a testimony, which is, again, testifying, telling the truth of the matter is, God's real. He's going to be there for you whenever you need him. I told Stan that I'm going to put a plug in, because I think, honestly, this is where we're missing it in our churches. This small men's group that we've started, if in fact you are not a part of a small group within this church, if you've never been in part of a small group in this church, if you don't know of any small groups that exist within this church, find one. If you can't find one, start one. I can tell you, getting in the Word more than here, just on Sunday morning, we have a phenomenal pastor. We have phenomenal pastors here. But we need more than what we're just getting here on Sunday morning. And if, in fact, you get into this, this group of dudes that we meet with on Thursday nights, it's raw in there. There's been a few times that Stan's been there, and, you know, it's just real life men. And there's some things that sometimes that, you know, that come out in there, but it's reality. And it's real men wanting nothing more than to get into God's Word and grow deeper. So I think out of this, I want to encourage again, like I said, all the young kids that are here, if you're thinking about a career right now, listen, don't forget that God's there for you. If you're young, you're thinking, I don't know what I'm going to do. Listen, make sure you include God in your plans. Because I had a few bumps in the road as I was trying to figure out where I was supposed to be. But I didn't include God into it right out of the gate. If I can give you any advice, include God in your life right out of the gate and hopefully avoid some of the struggles that some of us went through. So I'd like to leave you with, I've been way too long here now. Stan said, no, take your time, whatever you need. So I told him, well, I'll take it all because I like to talk. So I'd like to leave you with kind of a verse that I think it was back when I think Luke was, they'd asked me to talk in his chapel service down at Bangor Christian. And it was at the time, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Was something that was I'd read in my Bible study, and man, that's something that's just stuck with me the last few years. And it's trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not into your own understanding, because when we do, we're going to screw it up. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he'll direct your paths. Path might not be straight. It might not be flat, but he'll direct it. So sorry for taking all your time, Stan.
I grew up just almost worshiping state police. We were taught in our home, those are the elite, those are the best if you want to be something, you know. And so Stedman comes to church here, and he's a state trooper, and I'm thinking, this guy's out of my league, you know, and he's incredible. But getting to know him, seeing him grow in the Lord here in this church, as we all have. Hopefully, you're a better Christian today than you were a year ago. If you're not, you're backslidden and you're going the wrong direction. I'm only sharing that because you think, oh, there's a guy right there. He's the total package. Obviously, God wants to use him. Every one of us need to be worked on by the Lord. Every one of us need to grow in him. This group of people right here this morning will never meet again. You say, well, Stan, we have church every Sunday morning. This exact makeup of people that are here will never happen again. There'll be somebody not here, somebody added to the mix, whatever. I'm saying this morning, just as God moved Jared Stedman from his place to a hospital with the idea of an assignment that did not exist, God was moving his life. And this morning, God's moving yours. And you are here for a reason. And he's speaking to you. And I don't know if you need Christ as your personal Savior, then you need to invite him in, just like that man did before surgery, Ben. Perhaps you're dealing with a battle in your life that you just can't get the victory over, and you're trying to figure out how in the world this happened. I got something for you. Just give it to the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Perhaps you're here and you've got something going on we've not touched on. One of the strange things about being a preacher of the gospel is that I'll get up and I'll just share whatever the Lord has spoken to me about on a Sunday morning, Sunday night, whenever it is, and I know what I've said. People come up to me after the service, boy, the Lord really spoke to me, and I'm thinking, what cutting comment did I make that really touched your heart? And they'll say something to me like, I'm thinking to myself, I don't say it to them, but I'm thinking to myself, I never said that. I didn't say that. Where did that come from? Because the Lord speaks to people through Mark, through myself, through some of you in ways that we don't even know where that came from. Not that we're saying it. It's the Holy, and I'm just sharing that with you this morning. Perhaps God has spoken to you from something that was said that we did not say. And you know what? That's God caring enough about you to speak personally to you that today's the day. Say that with me. Today's the day. If you need Christ, today's the day. If you've got a situation that you can't handle, today's the day to give it to the Lord. If God has spoken to you about something here this morning, I'm telling you, this room will never meet together again. Today's the day.